Have you ever known anybody that used to serve God and then they lost heart? And they just kind of went away? You ever watch a high school kid that seems like they were really a great student and then they just lose heart and fade away? We've all seen it. One of the saddest things to me is when I have people that'll come and they want to save their marriage and they're working at it and it's hellish. And then finally, one of them will ask the question, "Pastor, I'm thinking about getting a divorce. What do you think?" And I never, ever, as best I know, I've never counseled anybody to get a divorce. And I share with them, I say, "I will not have to tell you that, because there'll be a day when there'll be a line that you'll step across it and you will so lose heart that nobody could talk you back into it. And I'm not going to be the one to tell you. If I were where you are, I may go do that. I don't know. I may get discouraged. But then I'll hear and see one day that they lose heart and they've stepped across the line." I see it in athletics all the time. If you follow sports, you'll see it. Happens to individuals, happens to teams. They just lose heart. It's just something within us that just goes away. And we're going, and then all of a sudden, the heart is not in it. Well, Paul writes about that in 1 Corinthians 4. And we're on these Sunday nights looking at our 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians 4, and we're looking. And last Sunday night, 2 Corinthians 3, and then 2 Corinthians 4, and through this month, 2 Corinthians 5 and 6 and 7 that we're going to be looking at here on these Sunday evenings. But tonight, a message that simply comes out of the text, that twice it says, do not lose heart. Don't lose heart. And we find it in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're going to read verse 1, and then we're going to go right through the chapter and show you about not losing heart. But look in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 1. Therefore, now, you know, it's the old thing we always say, well, what's that there for? Well, we know what it's there for. We look back in chapter 3 and we see that we've got to be touched from glory to glory with the power of Almighty God that we preached about last Sunday night. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we received mercy, we do not lose heart. We don't lose heart. Now, we're going to come back and look at this whole chapter in a moment. What's there to say about not losing heart? Jesus said in Luke 18 in verse 1 that you ought always to pray and not lose heart. Now, let me tell you, if you want to not lose heart, you got to learn to pray. You ought to always pray and not lose heart. Paul said in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9, when it comes to doing good, do not lose heart. Don't lose heart when it comes to your prayer life. Don't lose heart in doing good. When it comes to doing good, do not lose heart. In Ephesians 3:13, Paul said, don't lose heart over my tribulations, over the hard things that have come to me. Don't lose heart over tribulations. Friend, if you quit praying and you stop doing good, and if you get your eyes on the difficult tribulation rather than on the goodness of God, you'll lose heart. You'll quit. You'll fall by the wayside. But you don't want to lose heart. Oh, I see it too much in preachers and ministry that they lose heart. I see it in men that we've ordained as deacons. We're about to select deacons here in a few weeks. And I've watched men that we see, and they're ordained, and we lay our hands on them. Boy, they go, and they serve, and they're here, and then just, they're gone. They lost heart. They lost focus. They lost a lot of things, but their heart just all of a sudden is gone in a different. And I wonder, what happened? Well, they didn't pray. I guarantee you they didn't pray, and they lost heart. They saw good, but they didn't do it, and so they lost heart. Or maybe trouble came and they just thought, it's not worth it anymore. And the tribulations just bent them over and they lost heart. Well, Paul says, because we've been given this ministry, by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. Don't lose heart. So tonight I want us to look in 2 Corinthians 4 about not losing heart. And there are three things I don't want you to lose heart for tonight, and they will serve you well. So let's look in this text, and we'll begin in verses 1 through 5 about not losing heart. Let's look at it in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1 again. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things, the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the god of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus is Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who is shown in the hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of the face of Christ. Number one, in this first paragraph of this chapter, he tells us, do not lose heart with spreading the gospel. Now, the gospel is veiled to some because the god of this world has blinded them, and they cannot see. They absolutely cannot see the truth. The god of this world has put blinders on them, and they can't see it. It's before them. They just can't see it. Robert talked about in his time tonight as he was praying about someone receiving Christ on Thursday. Right out here in the back parking lot this past week, I got back on Thursday, and I was thrilled. I saw the lights going up on the ball complex out there. So I went out and I watched that big crane pick up those deals and put water and drop it in the ground. And I'm telling you, those crane operators are some kind of guys. I mean, they know what they're doing. And I went out and I got on the right side of the fence and where I was supposed to be because I didn't have on a hard hat, and I was watching them. And all of a sudden, there was a guy walked and said, Pastor. And I said, I turned around, and it was one of the guys laying out the parking lot out here. And so I began to engage him. We began to talk and fellowship. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God said, okay, you're the pastor of this church, and here's a lost man. You're a gospel preacher, and he needs the gospel. Are you going to tell him? Now, why don't we do that? Why don't we? Well, number one, we say, well, you know, I'm afraid they'll reject me. Well, listen, if you're dead to who you are, it doesn't matter if they reject you or not. Now, if you're worried about you and you're alive to you and all you do is about who you are, then you're never going to share the gospel because you think they're going to reject you. So you got to get over you to share him. Mm-hmm. Amen. And then we say, well, I'm just scared. Scared of what? Well, I'm scared they, you know, I wouldn't know. Well, he's lost. You know more than he does. You don't have to know everything. You just got to know more than him. So the Spirit of God said, and then you got to say, okay, well, now, how do you break in? How do you start this conversation? You know, it was amazing. You can talk about ball. You can talk about this. You can talk about that. But all of a sudden, if Jesus comes to the conversation, it's a little different. It's just easy to talk about other stuff. He began to tell me a story of tragedy and tell me of his family. We talked about family. He asked about my family, and we talked about it. And we just talked on and on and on. And so finally, you just got to kind of kick the door open. Now, don't literally kick them. But you got to kind of bump the door. Because you see, he's veiled. There's a veil over his eyes and he can't see it. So finally I asked about the gospel. Well, preacher, you know, we've been to your church a few times. Well, good. See, you going anywhere now? No. Church is a good place to start your conversation with a lost man. It is an awful place to stop. Just because you get them to church doesn't mean they're going to heaven. Doesn't mean they know the Lord. And so we had to move. And then he just stopped and he said, "Now, Pastor, I'm just going to be honest with you." He said, "I'm not like y'all." See, he believes that all of you people that are in this building are good, righteous, and you've never done anything wrong. That's what he believes. Matter of fact, he believes that's what he's got to be before he can come here. He's blind. The devil has sold him a bill of goods. Do not lose heart with the gospel. Get the gospel in that man's life. Begin to share with him. He wasn't ready that day, but I know who he is. And he has to come to work here from now till Christmas. And I know what he does. I know what he drives. And I drove back through with Liz. It was him when we rolled the window down and he was on that big machine. I thumbs up. And he gave me two thumbs up because we were trying to get some work done out there. And he had worked with Brother Dan and they got it done. And he said like this and I said like this. And I thought in my heart, you're going to be like this if you don't do what you... See, he's dark. But we can't... It's amazing how church folks lose heart about the gospel. That's the ministry he's given us in verse number one. He's given us a ministry of the gospel. Disciple making, yes. But I'm telling you, evangelism is the front end of making disciples, and we must be soul winners. We got to share the gospel. Somebody told little Isaac up here tonight about the gospel. Somebody told those other two about the gospel. That gentleman, that lady that came through the Baptist, somebody gave them the gospel. They didn't lose heart. Don't lose heart with the gospel. Now, my question is, you used to be hot-hearted with the gospel. What caused you to lose heart in telling the story of your Savior? I hope you'd say nothing and I'm still doing it. But I'm fearful we're not. That we lose heart with evangelism. Don't lose heart with gospel ministry, even though they are blinded. Let me tell you, God said in verse 6, light shall shine out of darkness, and he's the one who is shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. And where is it? It's not in my face. It's not in your face. It's not in the face of the church. There's only one face that they'll get it in. It's in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to get them to the cross. You got to get them to Christ. And if they ever look on the face of Jesus, they'll never be the same. It's Jesus. Do not lose heart with the gospel. Number two, beginning in verse number 7 and down through verse 15, he teaches us, do not lose heart in the tough times. In the tough times. Look at it beginning in verse 7. He says, but we have this treasure. What treasure? The treasure of the Lord, the treasure of the Spirit. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not of ourselves. You see, it's him, not us, that people need. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Verse 12, do not miss verse 12. So death works in us, but life in you. You say, what in the world does that mean? Listen to me. When you die to who you are and you get you out of you and you are dead to you so that you can be alive to Christ, that death in you will work life to other people because they will see Jesus in you. I preached last Sunday one of the best sermons I've ever preached in this church. It wasn't me. I'm just here to tell you. I am not as good as last Sunday was. That's not false humility. I'm just telling you, the Spirit of God got in this, and we began to speak the message about the fragrance of God. And God was in the room. And the Lord touched us. I've been working on an old boy that he sits right up there in the second service. And he sits up there and he sits up there and he sits up there. And he ain't done nothing. But Sunday afternoon, I got an email on Facebook from him. He said, "Pastor, really enjoyed the sermon." Here's what he said. He said, "I got to taking an evaluation of my own life, and I stink." He said, "But how can you get over this when all you've been around is stinking people?" And then he said something that absolutely humbled me and shocked me. He said, "I want what you got. Can you help me?" So this week, I went by his place of business where I know he works. And I went in and found him and I said, "I got a deal." I said, "First of all, you greatly encouraged me. And I want you to know I'll teach you what I know if you'll come give me 4 hours of your time, and I'll do it with you one-on-one, and I'll mentor you for the next month if you'll come." And so I got an appointment beginning this Wednesday night. And I'm going to meet one-on-one with that young man. And we're just going to walk right through a disciple making material, make sure he's saved, and then surrendered, walk through what we need to do. I told him, I said, "You've made the first step. You've come to the end of who you are, but now what you've got to do is come to radical obedience. You know what you ought to do. The question is, will you do what you know to do? And if you'll take the Gospel of John and start reading, and if you'll just do everything you find in the Gospel of John in a month's time, God will radically change your life." Now, here's what I'm telling you. We walk through times when it's very, very troubled and we're hurting, just like Paul says. But hear me now. When Paul says, "I'm afflicted but not crushed, perplexed, not despairing, persecuted, not forsaken, straight," all that bad stuff, all the reason that God could keep that from you if he wanted to. The only reason those things come is to knock everything out of you that is you, so that you will die to you and be alive to him. It's getting rid of you. Your biggest problem is you. You got to get over you. I got to get over me. We got to die to who we are and let the Holy Ghost of God live through us. Somebody said to me this week, "You know, these are real hard times economically." And said, "You know, I'm afraid I'm going to lose everything I got." To which I said, "That's your problem. You ain't supposed to have anything." So, preacher, I'm telling you, it's not yours. And if God wants to take it, it's his to take. I'm just a steward. I'm just passing through. I'm going to where streets are gold and life is eternal. And you see, when we ever get dead to who we are and quit clutching everything in this world, then death will work in us so that his life can work in others. But we're so concerned about us, we can't get concerned about somebody. Look in verse number 13. "Having the same spirit of faith." There it is. "According to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak." You see, when you see it and you read it and you believe it, then you speak it. If you're dead to yourself. But if you see it and you don't speak it, you don't believe it. You just got it in your head. You've lost heart. Verse 14, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Amen. You see, friend, here it is. So many folks have lost heart. They're going along and they're doing good, but the reason they lose heart is because they fall in love with themselves again. And if you're in love with you, you're never going to mount a hill of beans for the glory of God. You got to fall out of love with you and fall in love with Him. And you got to die to you and live unto Christ. It's a simple message, but it's one the church is just not hearing today. We have lost it, and we lose heart. When the tough times come because we think God's mad at us, when He's really not mad at us, He's just trying to get us over us so that He can live victoriously and vicariously through us in incarnational living. See, some of the greatest things that ever happened to us were tough things, and we just bellyached and complained about them rather than seeing what God wanted to do in them. And when those tough times come, understand that you can be afflicted, but you don't have to be crushed, perplexed, but not despaired. You might get persecuted, but you're never forsaken. You might be struck down, but you are not destroyed. Number three, and this is what I want to talk to you about, is in verse 16, 17, 18 for a few minutes tonight. Look at this. Do not lose heart with gospel ministry. Do not lose heart in tough times, but do not lose heart in spiritual renewal. Look at it in verse 16. Therefore, he said all these things. Therefore, now he says it again. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Verse 16. But though our outer man is decaying. Now, it doesn't take rocket scientists to know that's the truth. I mean, just look around. My daddy, I almost got in a fight with my daddy Tuesday. My father is 85 years old. He cannot hear it, proverbial thunder. He is deaf as a stump. He has hearing aids, but they do not work if they are in your pocket. They won't. You cannot put them in your pants pocket and hear in your ear. And my father carries them with him everywhere he wants to go. You know why he carries those hearing aids? In case there's something he wants to hear. And he just puts them in. Sounds like a bumblebee going in his head. He can't hear it, but I can hear it. So I walk in there. Got in. He comes, 85 years old, sweet man. Walks up to me and he says, well, looks like you're losing your hair too. That's my daddy. Now, I know some of you say that, but you're mean and you're not my father. It's my daddy that loves me. And I turned around and I said, yes, old bald-headed one, what's the deal here? This text says your outer man's decaying. You don't have to look around far to find that. Teeth falling out of your head. Cracking. Getting your crowns all put in. All that stuff kind of sagging down on your face. You're decaying. Matter of fact, if I preach on about 15 minutes, somebody will die in this circle. Now look what Paul's saying. Therefore, we don't lose heart, though our outer man is decaying, yet what's happened to your inner man? It's renewed when? Day by day by day by day. You don't just get renewed on Sunday. You're going to get renewed on Monday. Then you're going to get renewed on Tuesday. Then you're going to get renewed on, what's the next? Wednesday. Then you're going to get renewed on Thursday. And day by day. But see, what happens is you lose heart and you just come on Sunday. Then you come back next Sunday and say, "Preacher, fill me up. Ain't my job." Feed your own self. Get on your knees and open the Word of God and let the Holy Ghost stir your soul, and you'll be renewed day by day by day, and you'll never lose heart. It's the exchange life. You see, you live your life being renewed day by day. Verse 17, "For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison." Those little things that come, they're just gnats in your life. They're just here for a moment. Now look at this last verse, oh my Lord. Verse 17. "And while we look not at things which are seen." Isn't that a weird phrase? We look not at things that are seen. I can see this bench. We don't look at that. Look at this. "But we look at the things which are not seen." What is it you cannot see? The Spirit of the living God. And that's what you're looking for. You're looking for what you can't see. See, we get all caught up in what we can see. We can see how many attend. We can see how much money we got in the bank. What you can't see is the work of God, the Spirit of God. Angels, you can't see them, but they're here. Matter of fact, they're in this very room right now. So you say, "Oh, preacher, you're crazy." Well, let me tell you this, they're here. They're here. Amen. You can't see it, but you ought to be looking for it. I can't see radio waves, but they're in here. If you got the right receiver, I can't see text messages, but they're in here. Where's your phone, Brother Leo? And if you got one of these little things right here, you can see them. How many texts you sent since I've been preaching? Six. Let me check. Yeah, you're right.
About six.
Yeah. Amen. That's because you got the right receiver.
Making sure your sound is right, too.
Amen. Right. Yeah, I knew you was looking out for me. But if you don't have a receiver, you can never engage with what you can't see. You see, your heart is the receiver. Your spirit is the and it's in your spirit that you're being renewed day by day by day. Oh, yeah. So we look not at the things which are seen, decay, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. They're just here for a while. But the things which are not seen, they're eternal, forever and ever.